Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 11th, episode 806. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. Downhill stretcher's finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day anyhow? Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. Hey, Jamie, did you see the video I just posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page? Man versus horse. It was a tug of war.
No.
It's a tug of war.
I haven't seen it.
One Belgian horse against 18 guys. Who do you think wins that tug of war?
I'm going to go with the Belgian.
Yeah, pretty easily. They tried it a couple times, and pretty much the guys just fell over. I mean, it was fun.
Oh, that's, you know, great. What a cool video.
These horses, the pulling horses, which obviously this one is, they'll do, you know, a pair of them will do thousands of pounds. And so, you know, I guess pulling 18 guys over, what is that, maybe 1,500 pounds, 2,000 pounds? Not a problem.
Oh, my God. He just took him for a walk.
I love these guys.
Those aren't even big horses that are in that thing. Wow.
No, it looks like an average-sized Belgian, you know. I don't know what country this was. I couldn't read the language. But it was funny.
That's awesome.
That's funny. And then there was another video, too, I posted on my Glenn the Geek page yesterday. Did you see this one? It was going around about WestJet Airlines out of Canada and what they did?
No. Tell me, because I've seen this story everywhere, but I never clicked on it.
Well, it's really cool. You should watch the video. Anybody that maybe Jennifer can get it off my page and put it on Horses in the Morning. The WestJet thought they would surprise passengers, and what they did is they set up this big kiosk at the one gate, and all these passengers were flying to another part of Canada. Well, they set up this kiosk which had Santa Claus in a screen, like on a TV screen, and what you had to do was go up and scan your boarding pass. And then Santa popped up, and what happened was they had him in the back, you know, on TV. And Santa popped up and said, hello, Charlie, and, you know, I'm glad you're flying with WestJet today. What do you want for Christmas? And all the people started going up and doing this and talking to Santa, and he would say their names, and he would say their siblings' names, and they all be shocked that he knew their names. Well, what happened was at the airport they were flying to, WestJet employees got all of those names, got what they wanted for Christmas, and went out and bought them all their presents.
No way.
Yes, so they showed them going out to all the different stores. Like 12 teams went out to different stores to buy these gifts. When they flew and landed and went down to baggage check, the first thing that comes out was all of these completely wrapped presents with the passengers' names on them, and they were all open in the presents, and they were all just totally shocked. I mean, it was totally shocked. The one couple asked for a 50-inch TV. They got them a 50-inch TV. They opened this great big huge TV. It was the coolest video. It actually had me almost in tears by the time it was over. It was just really cool. What a great idea.
The one beer, Santa. I would like an indoor riding arena.
Well, you know what happened is a couple of the guys were being, you know, Thanks, funny yeah. about it, and they were like, I want underwear and socks. Guess what they got? Underwear and socks.
You're kidding.
It was funny because a couple of them were being snarky, and they got the snarky gift. It was really
that's
cool.
That's great. That's great. I can't wait to read to watch that.
You know, and look at the publicity WestJet got out of that. A lot more than buying a few gifts for people and setting this thing up. A lot
yeah.
more.
No, that's great. That's great. Was it a long flight? I mean, how did they have time to go shopping?
I wondered the same thing. I did wonder the same thing, and it really didn't explain how long the flight was or anything. But they did say that, you know, they showed when the shoppers went out, they were running through the stores. So, you know, they were flying through the stores. They had it down to a science, though, as far as who was picking up what and, you know, had the gifts written down and everything. And then they wrapped them all when they got back to the airport and put the tags on them. So they had time to wrap them all. It was cool. I don't know if this is a total setup. I hope not. I hope it was what it was because it was kind of magical.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Gets you in the holiday spirit, you know?
Yeah, it did. It was really cool. So, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? We're going to be giving away some presents, too.
Yes, sirree. On today's, we are all way too weary for it to be only Wednesday edition. Start dialing in, folks, and I see that they already are because the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia is our first stop on the Warp 7 Wednesday journey through the Equinosphere. And having gathered our travelers back onto the bus, we will jet across the pond for an up-to-the-minute update from Horse and Country TV, the courtesy of the Velvet Voice. And our final destination, Planet Horse Elf, where the atmosphere changes from sun and fun to raging deadly storms every 10 minutes. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Give us a call right now at 347-637-3238 if you want to play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. 347-637-3238 and get in line right now to play. Jennifer's going to start lining up the callers right now. But in the meantime, we have some daily winnies to do. My daily Winnie goes out to our friend Kat from the blog Eat Your Tart Out, and she's a horse girl. She's been on our show before, comes on the Stable Scoop radio show all the time to give us recipes. We want to send a big congratulations out to her because she's getting married on Saturday. So congratulations, Kat, and we're looking forward to seeing all the pictures of the wedding. She told us about 6 months ago that she wants to have a really small wedding, just a few people there, and I think last I heard it was like 80 or 100. So we all know how that goes.
Yeah.
You know how that goes.
Sure.
80
do.
Or
100. Sure do.
You invite the few, and then all of a sudden everybody comes out of the woodwork or insulted, so you invite them, and then by the time you're done inviting all the insulted people, you have 100 people there. Anyway, it's your turn.
I've got a bad story, but it ends up happy, so hang with me here. The Daily Winnie, for me, goes out to the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office because this is who the MASH Horses, our Facebook page, is all about. It's helping adopt out the horses that the Sheriff's Department finds. I cannot believe the story that is coming out. There's a horse that somebody found that has been shot and starved and was wandering in a desert area at 243rd Avenue and Patton Road in Whitman, Arizona. Whitman is northwest of Phoenix, about 20 miles northwest of Phoenix. It's pretty far, and it's pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And most of the times that I've gone to try a horse to buy in Whitman, Arizona, I ended up telling you guys the story about it because it's been that entertaining. I don't know what goes on in Whitman, but I don't think I'm ever going to go there again. This horse was shot in the head and wandering around starving. She was found by the Sheriff's Department or was reported to the Sheriff's Department. She is currently now at the MASH unit, and she's actually doing pretty well with all of her injuries. The, of course, Durango Equine Veterinary Clinic, the one that does all the work for the MASH unit, the one I used to work for, they actually are saying that the horse is doing pretty good despite her injuries. She was apparently alert and sniffing the ground for food when they found her. And I just props go out to the sheriff's department for having such a giant heart. They have such great donors that provide money to the MASH unit to save horses like this. And the anti-daily winnie goes out to the person who's going to have a right-hand seat down with the devil in hell who did this to this horse. And you know who you are, and you're probably not listening to the show because you're not a horse person, but you can suck it. But I'll keep you guys up to date on this mare and how she's doing. But, oh, it just breaks your heart, the pictures. Oh, just about killed you.
So actually was shot in the head and was still standing up wandering around?
Shot in the head and wandering around looking for food. Starving, by the way. Starving. The pictures, of course, you know, sadly look like she has pretty bad laminitis because she's kind of parked out and leaning on her hind end. So I can't even.
Yeah, that kind of makes you wonder whether this was a random thing or the owners did it and didn't finish the job. You know, kind of makes you wonder. Either way, it's not good.
Either way, this person has guaranteed themselves a seat down south. But my gosh, what a great organization to actually try to save it, number one, and number two, to this little mare who's just fighting for her life and actually doing pretty well.
Well, that's terrific. Well, we're glad that that one kind of has a happy ending, and we know that if they end up with the prisoners taking care of them, that this horse is going to make it and be just fine and end up with a home someday.
So.
It'll be on your Facebook page here someday soon.
And she'll be in my backyard.
Why do I not doubt that, Jamie?
I'm actually heading to the MASH unit today or tomorrow because one of my students wants to adopt, and they have a couple older horses, kind of like Jet, that are looking for a place to go, that are really untrained, and she wants to get one, and we'll train it together, by God. So, I can't believe that one of my students would see what I go through with Jet and be like, I want to do that too. But bless her heart, she wants to try, so can't argue with her.
Well, and with you involved, I can't really play Green on Green right now. I can't play the short version of Marianne Kennedy's song because with you involved, it's not going to be Green on Green.
Well, thank you for
not
playing that.
Might be black and blue, but it won't be Green on Green.
Yes, that song usually would apply, but she's going to have me to help, and usually I'll be the one that ends up black and blue because I'll be like, I'll get on it first.
That's right. That's what I meant. All right, well, let's. How about we play the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia?
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have like an old bell boot.
That's right. It is time for the Wheel of Trivia, and this is how we play it. Jamie will name the categories for you to choose from of a trivia question, equine-related, and you have 5 seconds to give us the correct answer. If you do, we will spin the wheel. We have some terrific prizes on there today, some new ones, some ones we've had before, but there's probably about $750 worth of prizes on the wheel right now. So we hope that we give away a lot of them today. It is the holiday giving season, after all. And if you get the answer correct, you are going to hear my non-bell, which is not available at the moment. So it's going to be ding, 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 my human bell. And then if you get it wrong, you will hear the high school buzzer there. So play the game. Let us find out what the categories are, Jamie.
The categories are the same ones as last week, actually. Where in the world? And that could be, it's not a high school math or high school geography question, okay? It's horse-related, where in the world? The next one is Blaze of Glory, and it's kind of a grab bag of questions. And then, of course, we have Previously on Horses in the Morning, and that is for those that listen to the show and want to ask answer a question about the show and about a previous episode. So who's our first person, Glenn?
Well, actually, we have somebody on here first that is a first-time caller for the wheel, but not the first time we've talked to him, if it's the same person after all. Is this Marianne Kennedy?
Well, I believe that's who I am.
From Tennessee.
From Nashville, Tennessee. I looked in the mirror this morning, and yep, I'm still Marianne Kennedy. And I was thinking for my segment, it might have to be frogs in the morning. I have a little bit of a froggy voice. But I am so glad to be calling into y'all.
Well, you know,
Yeah,
we appreciate you calling in. That's fun.
Fun.
Well, and you know, we play something on the show all the time. I kind of made a shortened version of it because when we have stories about riders who are new and then they buy young horses that are untrained, this is what
we
play.
We mix black and blue, wouldn't ride that horse if I...
So
there
we play
is.
That. We've gotten a lot of use out of that, Marianne.
Well, good. That's fun. And I hope people take it seriously, though, because they don't want to be black and blue.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're new, get an older horse who's been there, done that, right?
Many times.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Well, hey, Marianne, what's going on? Do you have any new music out we need to know about before we get to the question?
I do. I have my first Christmas song for horse lovers that I just released, and I'd love to share it with you guys and all of the horse lovers out there.
Well,
Glenn,
you've already, I'm sorry, I thought you had already downloaded it. Do you have it ready?
I do, yeah. Well, I do. We'll play it later on, Marianne, when we do our song for the day. It's called Hoof Prints in the Snow, and I do have it. Let me know that you had one. So I was going to play it today anyway, so that's
great,
perfect.
Great.
Yay, good. Sorry, Glenn, I'll go ahead and take over.
Where can people find it, Marianne?
Oh, and people can find that song via my website, MarianneKennedy.com. Just, it's very, very simple to navigate around there. There's a little, there's a button to hear the song, and then there's another little button to buy. And it's a very simple download, and there you go. And, you know, I actually, Glenn, have some download cards that if we could do some kind of a contest today, maybe, I don't know, throughout your show, I'd love to gift some download cards to some listeners.
Well, how about this? So how about we give a download card to everybody that calls in to play the Wheel of Trivia? Because that is why, I know that's maybe not why you called, but we're going to give it a go. We're going to let you play, and we're going to see if you can maybe earn a Christmas gift for one of your horses. How's that sound?
Oh, boy. Okay. I'll give it a good old college try.
Great. And then what we'll do is we'll put you on hold afterwards, and you can give Jennifer the information about the downloads, okay?
Awesome.
Okay, here we go. Would you like to play the category Where in the World, Blaze of Glory, or Previously on Horses in the Morning?
Let's do Where in the World.
Okay, Where in the World. This is kind of tough, so I'm going to give you multiple choice, okay? In what country are the 2014 World Equestrian Games being held? Is it A, Canada, B, France, or C, Italy?
Oh, is it Canada this year?
Oh!
No!
Oh. Mary Ann, this was the easiest one we could have asked you.
It is.
It was.
This year?
For sure.
This year?
2014,
wait.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, wait,
you
wait.
Know.
Maybe it's France.
Yeah, it was France.
Oh, that's what I meant. France. Canada, France, Canada. Canada, France.
Yeah.
France.
French-Canadian, same thing. I gotcha. I gotcha. Well, hey, hold on 1 second, and Jennifer's going to get the information about the download cards. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing your song with us, and we're going to play it a little bit later today, okay?
Thanks so much, Glenn and Jamie. And you guys have a wonderful holiday season. And, boy, I'd like to know what time you get up in the morning to sound as chipper as you do. You guys sound great. I love your show.
All right.
Aww,
thanks,
thank you. And what
Jamie
we do
gets
is
up
we
a lot earlier
I
than
don't,
us.
I just don't sleep anymore with a baby. Okay, who's next on the line, Glenn?
All right. We have, let's see who we do have. We have Robin coming up next.
Hey, Robin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, did I hear a child in the background?
Yes, my 3.5-year-old's right here.
Okay. You know, I mean, if you want them to play, we ask them really easy questions.
I don't know if you could get her to focus long enough. She's
I
always in her own little world.
Nice.
But we
well,
can try.
Robin, where are you calling from?
Texas.
Texas. Okay. Well,
three and a half might be tough.
Three and a half might be tough. They kind of have to... Yeah, kind of have to focus. So we'll go with you. We'll stick with you this time. We have an age limit of 4, so sorry. She's just underneath.
That's fine. I'll have to get it one day when my 6-year-old's home.
Oh, sounds good. Well, hey, what category would you like? Would you like Where in the World, Blaze of Glory, or Previously on Horses in the Morning?
Let's try Blaze of Glory.
Blaze of Glory. Okay, it's kind of a random collection, and you're going to have multiple choice here, all right?
All righty.
From what equestrian pursuit, I didn't even know this, does the phrase get your goat come from? Get your goat. Is it A, rodeo? Is it B, racing? Or is it C, reining?
I'm going to say racing.
That is right, actually. That's correct.
Racing is correct. Glenn, that is the saddest buzzer, beep beep, I've ever heard.
I tried. The bell is not close enough to the mic. There we go. Do you know why that came about, Robin?
I'm going to guess that goats make good companions for stallions because we used to live next to some walking horse people, and they used a fainting goat as a companion for their breeding stallion because he wouldn't trailer next to anybody else.
You're mostly right, actually. That's what happened back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They used to put goats in the stalls the night before the race. They used to put a goat in with the racehorses to help calm them down because it would calm them down the night before the race. And what would happen was the other trainers would come and steal the goats out of the stalls so that the horse would be all agitated for the next day, and that's where the term get your goat came from.
Nice.
You're making that up. You are
no,
making
that's true.
That up. Is
that
no, that real?
Is true. And do you know where I learned that? I learned that on Blaze Kids Radio. That's where I learned that.
They made that up, too. Kids can
that's
make
the
stuff
next,
up
that,
better
that
than
That shows
anybody.
The next best thing to Google.
It is. I'm telling you.
Well,
I learn a lot listening to the kids show.
Yep.
I do. All right. Well, let's. We got to get you a prize, don't we?
Awesome.
So let's do that. Spin the wheel. See if we can find you. All right, you win something from Trafalgar Square, actually, and you probably don't need this, but you could give it to somebody as a gift because we all know one of these women. It's called The Smart Women's Guide to Midlife Horses, Finding Meaning, Magic, and Mystery in the Second Half of Life. And it's a book all about women who start with horses in their 40s or 50s and are just beginning with horses, and it's the complete guide to how to pick a horse, choosing the choosing the right discipline, leasing or buying, the whole thing. So, you know, as I said, you're already a horse person, but we all know that woman that's thinking about it, and you can give it to, to that person as a gift.
Yeah.
And that is compliments of Trafalgar Square, who do all the great horse books. But The Smart Woman's Guide to Midlife Horses. So we'll make sure we get that sent out to you. And that was written by Melinda Fulce.
Thank you.
And it has lots of pictures, too. So that's all.
Thank
good.
You. And I do want to apologize for the nasty picture of the nose.
Oh, that was you. That was Robin.
It was all your fault. You totally grossed me out.
I purposely didn't put it on your page, but, however, I'm friends with Jamie and Uta and Robert. And
I must have seen it 100 times. And then I kept hiding it. I kept hiding it and hiding and hiding. It's like, who the hell posted this picture of this bloody nose? You.
I should have thought of you more and made it so when it would crop the photo, it cropped the cutout. But, it was 11 o'clock at night, and I didn't know whether I was supposed to wake up my vet or not.
Robin,
I do have his mobile number. So.
Yeah. Like, my question was, ooh, how far could you stick your fingers inside it? That's what I was like. Yes. Yes.
I told Jennifer that one of the good question for the 5-second questions would be, name three things that gross Glenn out.
Oh, too easy.
Would be
too
pretty easy, actually.
Well, they're supposed to be easy, right?
Yeah, good point.
All right, Robin, hold on. And you also win a download from Marianne Kennedy. Jennifer's getting all the details, so she'll give you that in a second. So hold on.
Thank you.
Next, we have a new caller. Randy is calling. I don't know from what state. You'll have to find out, Jamie.
Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn and Jennifer. Happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays. Randy, what motivated you to get up on this fine Wednesday morning and give us a call?
Well, actually, I was looking at Twitter, and I saw the video that somebody shared about the airlines where they had the Secret Santa display. You know, the people talk to Santa on a camera, and then at the end of it,
just talked about that. Got
off
the plane,
they got the gifts they wanted. It was just, it brought tears to my eyes. It was so beautiful.
And
so
I
just thought I would give you guys a call and thank you for all that you do for everybody.
Oh, well, we're going to try to thank you by giving you a prize. How's that sound?
As long as I was told that I should ask for a kitty question.
Yeah, good luck with that. That ain't gonna happen. You're not passing. You're not passing for four.
I wanted something easy.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. How about I'll get most of these are multiple choice. So I'll make sure you get one of those. Okay. All right. So the categories are where in the world. It's all world related things to do with horses, and Blaze of Glory, which are all kids from Blaze Kids Radio, and then previously on Horses in the Morning. So if you've ever listened to the shows before, you'll have questions about us. So what would you like?
I've listened to the show before, and you won't let me do the kids thing, so I'll have to do where my cast have decided it's time for Where in the World.
All right. Where in the world?
Yes, they're helping me respond to the questions.
Okay, good, good, good. So, Secretariat. Are you familiar with the horse Secretariat?
Yes.
He spent his entire stud career at a place called Claiborne Farms in Kentucky. But what state was Secretariat born in? Is it A, Virginia, B, North Carolina, or C, Florida?
I know that. I was at the Equine Extravaganza. He was born in Virginia.
Oh, that's right.
Glenn, the answer was correct, Glenn. Yay! Congratulations,
Yay!
Randy.
I'm trying here. My darn bell isn't working.
I heard it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I heard it.
Yay,
the
I
end
won!
Of the year,
won!
You won. You definitely won. All right, well, let's see now. Let's see. You have horses, right? Don't Randy, do you?
No, I don't, horses? But I have clients who do.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what we can find for you. A lot of these are horse related. We'll see what comes up. the crappy gift, you just missed the crappy gift. By the way, this week's crappy gift is a retired Horse Radio Network mic that is signed by Coach Jen and I. So the actual mic that we used to do the show, it died. So we're going to give it away.
Lame.
That's why it's a crappy gift. But you actually want a really good gift worth $80. It's a Noble Equine duffel bag worth
$80.
Yeah, this is actually really, really nice. Noble Equine has nice stuff. It's the 6.2-hand duffel bag. It's perfectly sized for the show season or a weekend getaway with specific features for equestrians. 6.2 hands is not your average duffel bag. Named for its size, like the horse height measurement, the 6.2 hand duffel bag measures 26 inches. The 6.2 hand duffel bag is made with a hard base and mesh pockets for the stinky clothes. See, they know about us horse people. And it is really, really cool, designed for horse people, and I think you're going to get a lot of use out of this duffel bag. I really do. Really nice stuff.
I do have clients go to horse shows, so that'll work perfectly for us.
Well, terrific.
Keep it for yourself.
Yeah, keep it for yourself. You're not going to want to give it away. It's perfect for the airplane, too.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Randy, and appreciate you calling. Hold on. Jennifer's going to get to you and get your address and everything. Hold on.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays. That was easy. Tell your friends, okay? Tell your friends. Wednesday morning, you just call this radio show. They're just giving you crap. It's cool. It's awesome.
Yeah, so far we've given away over $100 worth of stuff, and we have. Let's go to somebody else because I don't see our first guest calling in yet. So why not just take the time to give
going.
Away? Ingrid from New Jersey.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, hello, Ingrid. How are you?
I'm really cold. It's freezing here in New Jersey.
Oh my gosh, do you have any snow yet?
Yeah, we got snow yesterday, and today everything's just frozen and ice everywhere.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I want to go riding. Sounds fun.
No, don't do it.
Man, I know my girlfriend lives up in Washington, D.C., and her family's visiting, and they were supposed to have their tour of the White House, and she had planned this whole day out, and everything got canceled because everything closed down because Washington got a bunch of snow.
Yeah, that would be us, too.
Yeah, kind of over there near them, so I go with it. Well, hey, what category would you like today, Ingrid? Would you like Where in the World, Blaze of Glory, or Previously on Horses in the Morning?
I guess I'll try Blaze of Glory, because I'm definitely not doing Where in the World.
Yeah, girl, come on, you chicken. All right,
Yeah. Here
you go. A horse is this multiple choice, so you got a chance. A horse's brain is 85% water. Shocking. What percent of the skeletal system is water? Is it A, 30%, B, about 50%, or C, about 70%?
The skeletal system? What is it again, the A, B, and C?
You've got about 30%, about 50%, or about 70%.
I'm going to say 70%.
Wrong answer.
They got a lot of big bones. Come on now.
Ingrid, I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have known this either. It's a guessing game. 33% chance. It's actually 30%, the opposite end of the spectrum. Only 30% of the skeletal system is water. I think if it was 70%, they'd have a hard time walking. But I love you. I love you.
Good point.
I do.
So I got to ask you guys, are you surprised that it's 30% water for the skeleton? I didn't think it would be like 2%.
I know. It's a little surprising.
It's bone. Surprising. Right?
Apparently, Ingrid is not surprised. She's not surprised at all because she thought it was 70%.
Hey, you know, you're good when you're good. Okay.
You know what? Her brain's a little cold this morning. Everything's a little frozen.
True.
So,
yeah. It's
awful.
Hey, Ingrid, hold on. Ingrid, hold on, though, because Jennifer's going to get to you and give you the information of how you can get Marianne Kennedy's songs. You can download that.
What?
So
that's
she was kind enough to give that away to everybody today. So hold on, Ingrid. All right, Jamie, I think that's all we have time for today. We have to get to our next guest. But I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I ordered an Equity Flex and Fork for a gift. I went out and ordered it the other night.
I ordered one last night for a gift. Are you serious?
Did you? Yeah, I did. I ordered. I'm not telling who I'm giving it for because they sometimes listen. So
I'll tell because they never listen. And that's my neighbor two doors down who is, she's German and she is meticulous about her property and cleaning her fields. But her husband is also the one that when Chad's working and I need help, I call. So I thought, they really need something nice, and Chad and I agreed that buying them a flexion fork would be a really great idea because they are such, they're so tidy, and they keep everything so clean, and their property is gorgeous, and they, I've used the husband to do a lot of heavy lifting on my farm, and I thought maybe he at least deserves something nice.
Well, now, I got to ask you, though, if you think about it the other way, is that kind of like, you know, getting somebody a vacuum cleaner and giving them a big hint that their house isn't clean enough?
You know, I didn't even consider that because they do clean their place all the time. It's almost like they have jobs, but yet a horse poops and I see them run out and, like, pick it up immediately. They're great neighbors to have because they don't have flies. But, like, they're so tidy. And they clean their pastures like I do. And when you have a flexion fork, it is easy to clean in your pasture. It doesn't get stuck on the grass and break when you go to stick it on the ground. It's caught in the little grass loops. It just goes right through it. They're so good at being so sturdy and strong, and they don't break I don't think they break at all, but they don't have a written guarantee for that. But they don't break. And so I thought it was a perfect gift and one that would be used and appreciated. I could have gone and got him a bottle of wine, but that would be gone in like 5 minutes knowing
that's true.
Us.
That is true. That is true. Yep, and that's the same reason I got this person one, is because he has to clean his paddocks. He's the husband, and has to clean the paddocks every day. And that's why I got the flexing fork, because of the paddocks. If you clean a lot of stalls, you should go with the shaking fork, because that definitely will save you time and money. So, you know, depends which one you do. But it's a perfect holiday gift. Get your orders in now. Get them in this week. They're still shipping out, so you can have it in time for the holidays. So definitely get your orders in. And he has the easiest order system, too, on his website. It was very easy to use. So, have to choose. And the other thing you do have to do is you have to choose the size of the tines. You can get narrow tines or wider tines. And I chose the wider ones because of the kind of grass we have here. But you do get all kinds of different options to customize your manure fork. Where else can you do that? Other than
I know.
Equity.
It's awesome. It was awesome. It was really easy. It was going on clicking it and kind of throwing your credit card number and you're done. It was nice.
Well, let's go on to our next segment.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
I just love that music. I just love it. Victoria Spicer is on with us from Jolly Old England. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
I'm sorry, I'm a little stuffy this morning. I've had a cold for, I don't know, 3 years it seems. So hopefully by next week I'll be able to breathe.
Did you give it to your baby or did your baby give it to you?
Oh, you know, just rub salt in the wound. I gave it to him. I feel terrible, and he is so sick right now. And it breaks your heart.
Bless. Well, it basically that continues for the next 18 years of one of you giving the other one colds. And then it goes to college.
Breaks your heart.
The good news is I can kiss my horse smack on the nose with snot running down my face, and he doesn't get sick. So there is always a bright spot.
I'm not even going to try that the next time I have a cold with my mare, because as I told you last time, I now have two horses, and I have the accident-prone one and the non-accident-prone one, and I think if I gave Rosie a kiss on the nose, she would end up having to go to veterinary hospital for about a month. That's Rosie.
Now, I thought that you were going to try to find her a home as a broodmare.
Well, it was getting very likely, and I got my latest vet bill in, and I thought, enough is enough. You know, this horse just needs a vet all the time, and over the silliest things, you know, a tiny little cut, and her knee will blow up to 3 times the size it should be. And she got stung by a wasp, and her head went twice the size it should be. And, she's quite prone to having vet colitis. And then she's just turned the corner in the last few weeks, and so it's looking very likely that she's staying, and my older horse is going off to be an event horse somewhere else.
No kidding. Well, so you keep the accident-prone one, and you sell the one down the road who is actually performing and doing well.
Exactly. There's no logic behind my decision whatsoever.
Awesome. Well, you know, you do what you got to do. Well, congratulations on finding your guy a good home and somebody that's going to go give him a job.
Oh, I hope so. It still isn't definite yet, but unless I win the lottery, they both won't be staying. So
yeah,
one of them has to.
I know. We need to keep playing. Well, hey, what's going on in the horsing country?
Well, there's been a bit of a sad story this week, which is about a little children's pony, a veteran Welsh pony who's been stolen from his field. And this poor little boy is 5 years old and is heartbroken that his pony's been stolen. So we're trying to spread the news and get everybody to look out for him, because we don't understand who on earth would steal it and why. Why, you know, even if you're stealing it and taking it to an abattoir, why would they want a veteran pony? And I don't understand the thinking by it, but hopefully he can be found and returned home to his owner.
Oh, what a cute picture. His name is TikTok. He's 24 years old and, was wearing a little blanket when they took him. Oh, people should be shot and buried who did that.
That's terrible, and he's got Cushing's disease, and so he needs to be on medication and to be looked after. So it's such a shame, and it must be so bewildering for the poor little pony, you know, taken from his field in the middle of the night.
Yeah, there's times when you just stop being so good and loading in trailers. Some point you have to say no, you guys. Start thinking. Well, that's terrible, and we'll share that on our Facebook page. So, you know, just in case the word gets out to somebody who goes, oh, my neighbor just got a Christmas pony, you know, because that happens, and it just needs to be shared, and the information needs to be passed on. We have a great organization here in America. I don't know if you guys have one or if they work over there. It's called Net Posse, and if any horse gets stolen, they have, like, it goes across the internet, and it's crazy. They've recovered so many horses by the people that are involved with Net Posse are so good at getting the information out there and doing the work on it. So do you guys have anything like that?
Yeah, we have like Horse Watch, which we do have, but it doesn't sound as organized as this one in terms of sort of scale of getting them back. You know, we just have various websites where people can advertise. So this is why. And obviously it's really sad when you get the cases of stolen horses, but we can't publicize every single one because, you know, it would fill up our days just doing this. But with this one, we thought was particularly special because, you know, we want this little boy to get his pony back before Christmas.
Well, yes. Please keep us up to date on that, okay?
Will do.
And give us the good news when he comes home. Well, hey, I saw also that a rider, I need a backstory on this. A rider was fined 1,500 pounds for throwing his whip at a car, or her whip?
Yes, it was her. A girl was out hacking with a friend, and a car was waiting to get past. And instead of patiently waiting, and it was on quite a narrow country, his horn, and I think got very close to them, and so the riders ended up getting very angry at the driver, and an argument ensued, and the girl ended up throwing her whip at his car, and it was one with like a metal top, and he took it to court, and she got fined £1,500 for causing damage to his car, let alone the fact that he endangered two people's lives and two horses' lives, and shouldn't have been driving like that and shouldn't have been beeping his horn. But apparently it was somebody who could afford a solicitor, and so he managed to take them to court. And just goes to show, if it wasn't hard enough riding on the roads as it is, now we've got drivers accusing riders of being dangerous or damaging, when actually it's usually the other way around.
Well, what they should have done is they just take that whip to the side of his face, and then there'd be no damage to the car.
He definitely the solicitors involved that.
I love this story, too, because you know what kind of jerk this guy is. He's driving an Audi A5, right? He's driving a fancy car. He pulls up behind him, and he beeps his horn, and he said, in court, he beeped his horn to make sure the rider was aware of his presence. And then he continued to say the rider called him rude names and used her horse to intimidate him. Now, okay. You're sitting in your Audi A5, and you're intimidated about a girl on a horse. Okay. Yeah.
I know. It's just ridiculous. And I don't know what it's like over in the States, but over here it's a real issue. And we're actually going to launch a survey this week about riders on the road, because we want to get a kind of sense of scale of how many people are actually worried about riding on the road, and how many people are getting shouted at and abused by riders, by drivers, because I think it's going to be quite shockingly high. So we'll definitely keep you up to date with what our survey says.
Yeah, absolutely. We could conduct our own survey after that and see how it is over here. I'm reading the story, and this punk-ass kid is 18 years old. It's not like he's some 40-year-old man who was, like, heading home from work. It's an 18-year-old in an Audi A5. You want to punch him in the face anyway.
Afraid so.
Sorry. One more story that I saw. A research shows that horses learn from each other. Is this one of those research studies that you're like, duh, or is this actually kind of useful?
Well, I started reading it thinking, well, that's quite obvious. And then there's something really interesting about it. So what they did is they had a box, and the horse had to pull a rope. And then when they did that, a drawer would open and they'd get a treat. And what they'd do is they'd get a horse that could do it to show other ones how to do it. And really interestingly, of the younger horses, most of them followed the demonstrator and learned the task. Whereas only two out of the 11 older horses did. So it kind of proves that younger horses are more amenable for following instructions, whereas the older horses weren't.
It's just like people.
Which is why you have to get a youngster. That's why I'm going for a 4-year-old instead of an 8-year-old, so she can learn more. There's quite a big discussion on our Facebook page about it now, and people are saying, well, that's really obvious, and but some people have said some quite interesting things, like their pony couldn't work out how to do rein back, and then it saw another horse do it, and then it copied it. So I've decided I'm going to take my horse to watch Grand Prix dressage, and he'll obviously just watch it once, and he'll be able to do all the moves.
Put him in the stands.
Yes.
Wow.
That'll work for your horses too. Just bring them out to the, you know, to the marathon course, and just have them stand there and watch to the cross country course.
I was going to say the marathon. I'm not teaching them to drive by watching.
Oh, sorry.
Not going to happen. Well, Victoria, what is on Horse and Country TV this week?
Well, we're in the middle of SEI World Cup season, so we've got loads of really good action this week. So we've got jumping and driving from Verona in Italy, so a bit of a glamorous setting. And we've got SEI Classic eventing from Po in France, and Global Champions Tour show jumping. So absolutely loads and loads of recent equestrian sport. Maybe I should bring my horse in to make him watch on HNC TV, and then he can just learn. He doesn't need to see them live. He can just watch on TV.
Sounds good, and I would like to just watch those places, to Verona and eventing in Poland. I didn't even know they evented in Poland.
No, sorry, in Po, in France, P-A-U, which is one of the four star cross-countries. I think I was like eventing in Poland, though, because there's quite a lot of Polish eventers. So, I don't think they have four-star eventing there.
Eventing in Poland. Let's see. Now
on your bucket list?
Curious. And now it's on my bucket list. Yes, there is eventing in Poland. Strzegom, Strzegom, Poland.
Yeah,
obviously,
it's quite a big event, I think.
A vacation destination as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
hey Victoria, before we let Victoria go, she missed the biggest news of the day from Horse and Country TV. How about the fact that we can watch it now?
Oh, well, you mean HNC TV everywhere? It's just for the UK and Ireland, I'm afraid. Sorry. Sorry to disappoint. That was the first question that everybody asked when we posted, saying, can we watch it in Canada and America? But the reason why is because of broadcast rights. So we would have the rights to show our programs in the UK, but not around the world, and that's why we've never been able to launch online. So, unfortunately, it's UK and Ireland only. But if this changes, we will let you know.
Oh, screw the broadcast rights! Just do it anyway. Who cares? That way, it's all about us, Victoria. It's all about us.
Sounds
like a plan.
A list of the upcoming shows. They've got Equitrekking, obviously that's Darlene Newman, and then The Ride, Race Across the Steppe, and then two back-to-back episodes of The Saddle Club, which what girl didn't read all those books when they were a kid? I want to watch this. I want to watch this channel, and you need to make it happen, okay?
Okay. I think you have to let us know who's in charge of television channels in the States, and we'll get in touch. I think it's always been talked about coming over to the States.
Put it on A&E. They'll show anything.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Backstage
Pass with Monty Roberts. Then an episode called Team Fredericks. Like, that wouldn't be the greatest show ever. More Equitrekking.
But
Chris Cox.
But I got to tell you, Jamie, Jennifer is right. They do not have half-naked rodeo girls on their network.
No, we don't. But maybe if there's a show called Half-Naked Rodeo Girls.
There is, actually. It starts tonight. It's called, what's it called? Rodeo Girls, right?
Rodeo
That's what it's called,
Girls,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Starts tonight. Jamie and I are going to take one for the team, and we are going to watch this show and have a full report on Friday morning. We are going to...
I was thinking, I've heard of this show, and then I've just realized why. Did you post the picture on Facebook earlier this week? Yes.
Yeah.
That would be why. well, let us know what it is, and if it's something that we should be bringing to our viewers, then maybe I'll mention to our head of programs.
I have
If they get to be on Horse and Country TV, I'm going to kill myself. How about that? All right, Victoria, we'll talk to you next week.
Speak to you next week.
All right, bye.
Yeah, that's the last thing we want is that show representing the United States and England. Ugh.
It's, sadly, that is unfortunately one of the things that probably would represent the United States. Like, we don't have, like Real Housewives of Atlanta is not Housewives of Atlanta. I'm sorry. It is just not. I had friends that were housewives, and they didn't behave anything like those ladies on that show. And sadly, to me, that represents Atlanta, and it's not. It's just like, well, probably the Real Housewives of L.A. are probably really like that. But
you know what one of the biggest shows overseas was Jersey Shore. It was huge overseas, Italy and Europe, and it's like, oh, God. Snooki was our representative. Well, let's give some love to Marianne Kennedy, who was kind enough to call in earlier and give away some of this song. This is her new holiday song called Hoof Prints in the Snow, and we're going to be right back after that. With Hoof Prints in the Snow. And we'll be right back right after that with the Horse Health Report. Is there anything I'm saying wrong about Horse Health?
Let's see how she thinks it.
Good. All right. She will be the determining factor here right now.
In the snow.
Ha!
the most lovely
she knows.
Thing I know. When the trails of all turn white, I can't wait to take a ride on this holy morn when Christ was born. All God's creatures know it's Christmas. Let's make hoofprints in the snow. Hoofprints in the snow. The whitewashes our soul. Seems we notice all the night. It always fills our lives. On this holy day, love leads the way, and we all follow. It's Christmas. Let's make hoofprints in the snow.
Well, that was very pretty, and apparently it's Hoofprints in the Snow by Marianne Kennedy. And you can find all her music at MarianneKennedy.com. You can get a download of that over there. And oh, that was very pretty. And, you know, about 40 states right now can be making hoofprints in the snow, not here in Florida or Arizona. We're not going to be doing that anytime soon. We can do hoofprints in the sand. That's what we can do.
I was actually looking at a map of the United States and like a weather map right now, and we're even having the low last night was 33 degrees, so it's been getting really cold here, and the entire country was done in blues and greens, which is like probably 40 degrees and below, except for the state of Florida. It was orange because the entire Florida has been in its 80s. How is that possible?
We've been a heat wave, actually. It's been hot here. It's been shorts, and the horses are sweating. If you haven't shaved your horse, you're going to do it because the horses have been sweating here. Well, let's talk a little bit about Equestrian Collections because you still have time to hop on there. They have a great holiday gift guide on their website. Go to equestriancollections.com. It's right there on the homepage. They call it the Christmas Shop. And they have a ton of ideas and Christmas gifts that they can ship out to you. You want to get your orders in this week. I mean, we really are running out of time. We're at the 11th, so we have very few days left, but they can still get them out to you. Go to equestriancollections.com. They have gifts in all price ranges, from barn gifts to stocking stuffers to dream gifts, the more expensive ones, to barn gadgets, all kinds of things. They have some of the coolest socks. If you're into stocking stuffers and you want to put socks in there, they have some of the coolest socks. I always get Jennifer socks every year because she loves socks. And they have the boots the red paddock version boot of the boots that we saw at Ada, the patent leather red paddock boots. Remember those? Well, they have those. And can you imagine how they're selling this year? So check them out at equestriancollections.com for all of your holiday gift-giving needs. Well, we're going to talk about a topic that for the Weekly Horse Health Report that we actually covered a couple years ago. And the reason we're doing that and not having a live guest today is everybody's at the AEEP meeting in Nashville right now. All the vets are at that meeting, and they were all too hungover this morning to come on the show with us. So we thought we'd dig into the archives, and actually Jamie went back 3 years to find a very interesting one we did with Dr. Jones from Florida Equine and Christy, because you remember Christy was the first one that did the horse.com with us, and this was on colic, and it was interesting because this is on colic, and the very beginning of the recording that you're going to hear, your horse was having colic, and I'm assuming that was probably Jet.
If I have a horse that's colicking, it is Jet. Like, there's no doubt about it. And actually, I'm going to have to listen to this again because a little update on Jet before we get into it is I decided, that's it. He's had all these treatments. It's time to put him back to work. And so I rode him over the weekend, just a little short bareback trail ride. First time I've ever ridden him bareback. We just walked, and he was great. Then on Monday afternoon, I went on a long trail ride, long being, a couple miles, and came back, and by the time I got him back, he was colicking. Actually, I'm trying to open the gate, and he's pawing. By the time I got him in, he was trying to lay down. So, of course, my vet's at AAEP, so I call her, and she's like, well, just give him some Vanamine, see if that'll be done. And actually, she's working. She's so nice. The entire clinic, Durango Clinic, is going up to this one manufacturer who is making some medicine that they think will help him. It's for, hindgut ulcers. This is what they're thinking. And they've so far got three of the vets to get a month sample for me for free. So I'm 3 months into free samples. So I'm like, talk to every vet you know. Have them all go over and talk to this company and get a free month sample and send them to me, please. And I said, how long will I need to keep him on this? Like, this, will we get the whole thing covered? And she's like, this would be one of those he'd be on for the rest of his life. Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
Of course. But anyway.
And it's going to be the $400 a month variety, too. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do know that. And please don't tell my husband.
Poor Jet. He's had this stomach issue since he got him.
Well, I mean, he was starved. He was, I would imagine that getting down to, a skeleton probably doesn't leave the inside of your intestines in very shiny shape, So I would imagine it's something that I'm going to have to probably deal with for the rest of his life, maybe, unless we can fix it, which we're trying. But it's really frustrating.
Well, let's take a listen to Christy from thehorse.com and Dr. Jones from Florida Equine on this show we did in December of 2011, but it was very interesting and a lot of fun. And we get to hear all about, Jet. I'm not sure which horse it was you were talking about, but we'll hear about it again here just 3 years earlier right now.
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and Chrissy's attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Awesome.
Glenn, Chrissy, admit it, you want that as your ringtone, don't you?
I do. Can I get that?
I'll send it to you.
Send it on over.
Perfect.
Well, let's
I will make sure to turn it on anytime I even think I might see Glenn.
Before we get a little bit wacky there, first of all, good morning, Dr. Jones.
Good morning, everybody.
We missed you guys last week. We were broadcasting from Norco, California, so we didn't get to have you guys on. But I would like to say that I did think about you on Sunday as the veterinarian was sticking a hand up my horse's rear end, rectaling him. So if it gets you feel better, I thought of you.
I wish you had thought of me in a different perspective than that. My family seems to have that same feeling. Maybe it was that picture I sent them in the thank you card for my graduation gifts of me wrestling a mare. Thank you very much. I don't know. that.
That's awesome. That's
that
awesome.
Is definitely a procedure we'll cover in today's show.
Yes, and that's what I wanted to go ahead and get on with, because I am taking notes today, because I had a ripping bad colic this past weekend on Sunday. My horse, Jed, my competition horse, my event horse, just got sick. I mean, and we had had a huge weather change. It had been nice and warm and sunny, and then all of a sudden that night it got down to like 40, woke up the next morning, it did not warm up throughout the day, and he just got really sick, and somebody was telling me that there was a large barometric pressure drop or something, and lots of horses all over the valley colicked. So I'm gonna sit back and listen to you guys discuss what I did wrong or what I did right and what I can do to prevent this nightmare from happening again.
You know, I was kind of first interested in what your horse was doing that told you he was sick.
That's a good question. You know, I've had horses before that would maybe stretch out and paw a little bit. I've had horses that would bite at their belly. This horse is the biggest wuss to any amount of pain ever. I mean, you would have thought that he had slipped it, something, and he had just he went down. He wouldn't get up, okay? I had to lift his head off the ground to put the halter on. That's how bad. He was flat out stiff as a board, would not get up. Have to take the dressage whip with three people in there trying to get him up. When we did get him up, he was running sideways and striking and fighting and just absolutely crazy miserable, like to the point it was just hard to even treat him at the beginning. Once we got some medications in him, which you guys are going to talk about, he started to calm down a little bit, but until he was tubed, he was never comfortable. But no, very overdramatic is this horse, Christy.
Wow.
Is this the first colic you've experienced with him?
No. No.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Good to know.
Now, it was the worst colic I've experienced with him, because this is the first time that he's actually, you know, this is the horse that was a starvation case, and then he had just the worst ulcers. And anytime he gets some alfalfa, either by accident, he eats it from his neighbor that blows over, he would get a gas colic. And one shot of Banamine, and in 10 minutes, he's fine, and he's back to being himself. This time, the Banamine did not work. It was not enough.
That's a good description. Do you narrate books on tape?
I don't get it.
Good job. I thought that was a very good job. Well, I was curious, because I figured we'll bring in a few of those throughout the show, but I wanted to start with what you did, since you asked what you did wrong. So what did you do other than the Banamine? You got the halter on, you tried to get him up. How long, you know, at what point did you give him the Banamine right away?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't recommend this to everybody, and not like my recommendation matters, but I was a vet tech for like 10 years, so I'm pretty comfortable giving an IV shot. I give it the very safe way downwards. And so I have the Banamine on hand, and since he's had these bouts with gas colic before, because he did have so many bad ulcers, the vet recommended that I just have it on hand for these kind of moments. However, this was not one of those moments. So when I did give him the Banamine, which was as soon as I got him up, I could tell, I couldn't even get close to him to get his heart rate. I couldn't get next to him. I tried to listen to his belly with my little stethoscope, and he kicked me. That's how much in pain this horse was. He was freaking out. So I was able to get him out of the stall. We put a chain over his nose, and I was able to get the Banamine into his vein, and then walked him for about 10, 15 minutes, because he was trying to go down, and just tried to keep him up. And again, if he was to lay quietly, it would have been one thing, but he was rolling and going crazy. So I took him around, walked him until I realized that the Banamine wasn't doing it all, and that's when I called the vet. And she was 2 hours from coming. So I actually drove to where she was, and I picked up some sedative from her, brought it back, and gave it to him. And then he laid quietly until she got there.
Wow. Well, that's definitely a trusting relationship that your veterinarian has with you, so that's fantastic. But it sounds like you had a very workable situation and very traumatic for you. So driving even to go get those meds probably was horrifying to leave him behind, I'm sure.
Yeah, fortunately, it was a mile down the road. Literally, she was a mile. I live in an equestrian neighborhood, so the people down the road were having a colic, too. Now, I was her technician for a long time, so that's why she trusted me enough to give me the meds, I think.
Good, good. Well, it sounds like that, you know, you could say you had a very terrible colic, but we can't really say that for just based off the signs, because I would consider a terrible colic one that needs surgical intervention. And that's what I define as a terrible one. But then again, everybody has a different thought process of what terrible is. Terrible could be just their personal emotional experience. They don't want to see their horse, their baby, having, you know, a very painful episode going on.
Well, I guess when I think terrible, you know, terrible to me is my horse being in pain. Unfortunately, not terrible to those of us who don't know why they're in pain. You know, of course I think, oh my God, it's surgical. That's the first thing I think is, oh my God, I'm going to have to get him to a clinic somewhere. He's going to need fluids. He's going to need surgery. That's the worst case scenario. And that's the horse owner and us panicking about anything like that. So when you say it's not that terrible to you, that's because you see a lot worse. But when it's our baby, you know.
Right. That's exactly my point is, you know, to me, I wouldn't consider it terrible, but to you, and terrible, you know, different in, this, in the eyes of the beholder, basically, as just as good as, you know, beauty is definitely different in the eyes of the beholder. The well, the thing I want to talk about, and I think what Chrissy is getting at very well, is what are the signs of colic? And yours was very obvious, a very obvious sign. But it can be as little as they're standing in their stall and they don't want to eat their food. They're not doing anything but just standing in the stall. Another one could be they're stretching out as if they want to urinate. And they're kind of what they're doing is they're making room in their abdominal cavity for that constipation, gas, whatever's going on, to kind of fill out. It'd be like you and I after Thanksgiving meal. We're trying to find that comfortable standing or laying position. Sitting at the table doesn't work for us anymore because you're squashed in your abdomen. So you got to get up from the table, and you got to stand, and you're kind of standing funny. Maybe you're laying on a couch watching a football game, and you're laying funny because you just want to get that heavy weight food in the right position so it doesn't bother you. And horses stretching out as if they need to urinate, a lot of people will think are urinary tract problems, which is very rare in horses. And that's a very simple sign, and that's an early sign a lot of times for it, the horses that are having colic issues. But all the signs, you can put them all together and see them all at the same time, or you can just see one or two of the signs, and that's enough to say, I think we got a situation that we need to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, back to what Chrissy was asking is, how did you know your horse was sick? Knowing your horse, being that horseman, a horsewoman, and knowing that the behavior of your horse is certainly different today than it was yesterday, if it meant just stretching out as if to urinate or standing in the stall, not interested in anything going on outside the stall, that might be enough for you to say something's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And once you suspect that something is wrong, what should you do?
Well, you know, the common thing that everybody always says is take the horse for a walk. Let's, you know, besides calling the vet, is let's walk the horse. And I've had, you know, especially here and probably the same for you, Jen, out where you are, in the summertime, walking the horses for an hour before the vet gets there can actually be detrimental because you're going to get them sweating, you're going to get them, you know, hot, because it's pretty darn hot here. And so I always tell people, walk, but watch the amount of sweat going on. You know, make sure you're not getting them uncomfortable, that kind of thing. In your situation, you had one that was violent. So walking was kind of detrimental to you, right?
That was the only way I could keep him from getting cast in his stall. But, yeah, no, I was definitely avoiding the striking front legs. But if
so
I kept
tell
him
people,
walking,
walk and be careful. Don't get hurt. That's the big thing is please don't get hurt. But you can certainly walk them, and those are things that you can try to do before the vet gets there, see if it helps the horse feel better. Removing the food, that's huge, especially one that you just fed. They didn't run over to the bucket to eat. They're just standing in the stall looking around. They're not rolling. They're not laying down, but they're just not interested in eating. Take the food right on back out. Don't wait. Just take it right on back out because you don't want to add any more hair down the drain if it is an impaction. And they go and eat a little bit more food, it may make their colic a little worse.
Okay.
Absolutely. And one of the other things you want to do, but even before you call your vet, is check your horse's vital signs and listen to his gut sounds, because your vet's going to use that information to decide to kind of get an early idea of just how bad things might be.
And, Jen, you're in the perfect situation of that. You have that experience. Anybody else doesn't have that experience. They can just ask their vet, where do I listen for this? And then you just need to make it a regular habit once a month, every couple weeks, to check your horse's vitals so you know what you know normal is for your horse. I get a lot of the gums are pale. Well, the gums are probably normally pale because they tend to not be a bright pink color in some horses. They tend to be a more pale pink color normally. So you've got to get a normal basis for your horse and get a really good feel of what your horse has for a normal heart rate. Are they a nervous horse and tend to have 40 for their normal heart rate? Or are they so relaxed that 28, you know, beats per minute is a normal heart rate? Gut sounds, that's questionable. You know, a lot of people, you really need to listen to a lot of gut sounds to become an expert on it, but it certainly doesn't hurt to start trying. But again, as Christy pointed out, it's going to help the vet. Your vet was busy with another colic. She could triage over the phone. If you're capable of doing all those vitals, she could triage which colic she's going to get to next. Now, don't give any false information just so you're the next one in the line, please. But a horse has got a 32 heart rate and is rolling, but then I've got one that's got a 60 or 70 heart rate and is rolling. I really need to see the 60 or 70 heart rate over the 32, because 60 or 70 heart rate is telling me there's probably something strangulating in their intestinal tract, and if they're going to survive, they need to get the surgery right away. So those,
okay,
those
so
kind
basically,
of things really help out.
Next time my horse is sick, I just need to tell him his heart rate is 75 plus, and she'll hurry on over.
You're terrible.
Yes. No, not at all.
Okay.
But as far as we're talking about triage and early treatment, you know, Jamie, you mentioned giving Banamine because you know how to give Banamine properly. Please don't ever give it the muscle. But what, you know, are there any meds that owners should give if they're not familiar with such injections? And another thing that Jen asked about in particular is what about some of those over-the-counter products that are, quote-unquote, guaranteed to stop colic?
Yeah, and, you know, I see that note that you had for me, Christy, and I think there's a lot of diet pills out there that are guaranteed to get you to lose weight, too. So consider the marketing source. If they're guaranteed to stop colic, then most of us veterinarians wouldn't have a job. And that's all I can say.
Good point.
it's kind of like the treatment for laminitis, where if there was actually one, everybody would use it. Kind of like the whole colic thing. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I think the point is we all wish it were that easy.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, you've got over 100 feet of intestinal tract inside of a horse. That's a lot of intestinal tract to have complications with, and it depends on which part and which section's having problems that tells you, is it going to be a severe problem, mild problem, or a, you know, moderate problem. So it just depends on what's affected.
Sure.
So it can't be a cure-all for the whole entire tract. It all works differently for a reason.
Again, would that it were that easy. So as far as giving any medications, Banamine, pain meds, or whatever, Erin, what's your position on owners giving a lot of that before the vet is able to come see the horse?
Consult your veterinarian. And the biggest thing I always say is have a good relationship with your veterinarian. I have Banamine that I'll dispense to clients I trust that I know they're going to call me and say, hey, I've got a colic going on. Can I go ahead and give Banamine? Or they're screaming, I got a colic, you know, can I do Banamine? Because they're in the same position Jamie was in the fact that things were not going so well. Things were going bad quickly. In those circumstances, yes, and this is how much they give, and call them back, or they need to get back in touch with me in a matter of X amount of time. If they're able to give an IV, then they can get back to me in a matter of 20-25 minutes and tell me how's the horse doing. If it has to go orally, I'll talk to them about 45 minutes to an hour, make sure everything's going okay. If it's not getting better, more Banamine is not the answer. That's definitely masking the signs for the veterinarian to come out. So I don't think a lot of people understand that. Banamine is good for colics, but too much is a bad thing. It can make the gums real pink. It can make the heart rate drop to a normal rate. It can make the horse comfortable enough he wants to eat, and eating might be the worst thing for that horse to do at the time. So there's a lot of side effects to Banamine that make the horse look good because you want him to feel comfortable, but you need to be cautious of what you're allowing the horse to do or what you're reading off the horse.
And to me, Dr. Jones, Christy, I'm sorry. To me, that would seem like normal. Like, I'm not going, if I take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen and I still have a headache, I'm certainly not going to take 800 more. But people, and I was so shocked with the vet who was at my house. She had just treated that horse with, you know, the horse at the last place, and they had given it 2 grams of bute and half a dose of oral Bantamine. So she gets there. So she's like, well, it wasn't really working. So she gave it another half dose of injectable Bantamine. So then it had its full bute and full Bantamine dosages. She's like, don't give any more. So she leaves. She gets a phone call when she's at my house, and they're like, he's not any better. We're going to take him to the clinic, but we went ahead and gave him another dose of Bantamine.
Why? Yeah. Why?
He's like, you did what? So then she had to call the clinic and be like, they're on their way, and you may want to just go ahead and have a bunch of fluids ready to flush out its kidneys.
Exactly, and that's the side effect of the Bantamine, as well as the fact that we'll give them false information when they arrive to the clinic. They won't really know how bad off is that horse. And amazingly, I just had a colic last week, and it's amazing how many colics in 19 years experience now that I've had that will continue to stay standing in the trailer all the way to the clinic, whether it's 15 minutes away or an hour away, the horse arrives standing. They don't fall down. I think it's the rocking of the trailer. You're putting them in the smaller area that they can lean against the walls. I've only had one arrive down, and that horse had to be euthanized in the trailer. It was pretty bad off. All of them stay standing, and people don't think that that's going to happen because they're rolling and they're uncomfortable right prior to getting into the trailer, but they'll stay standing.
Self-preservation.
It is. It's a self-preservation. Sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I know we don't have a whole lot of time. There are a couple other things that we wanted to touch on in terms of colic triage. Jennifer had asked a couple questions about medications that that the vet may give, such as why you'd give Bantamine over Bute.
Bantamine has a better effect on the smooth muscle, and that's what lines the intestines, and its analgesic effects. So it takes away the pain of the intestinal tract, and Bute doesn't seem to have that good of an effect on the smooth muscle. It has a great effect on the musculoskeletal, which is the, you know, skeletal muscle that makes up the frame of the horse. But as far as giving some belly pain relief, it doesn't seem to do it. The Bantamine's a better choice for that. It always has.
So, so Bantamine's a lot like Imodium?
No. Okay. Not
no.
a lot like that.
What does Imodium do for you, Glenn?
It does that. It lines your stomach and makes the cramps go away. So I thought it was a lot like Bantamine.
No. Definitely different ways, different methods of action.
It's not coating the stomach. It's just working on the muscles around it.
Yeah,
so I don't have to take 45 of those little pills out of the packets and give them to my horse when he's colicking?
No, I wouldn't. I do know some people who have tried it. So, and Gas X is another one they've tried. So, you know, I can't say why it's working for those horses. I don't know if it's the sugar pill idea for the client, the placebo. But anyway, it doesn't do the horse any harm, but I wouldn't trust it to be its number one job to do is to take care of your horse's colic. But the Bantamine, it's an anti-inflammatory, just like Bute. Bute's an anti-inflammatory drug. So,
I was surprised, Dr. Jones, that Jen and Glenn both said that they didn't think that people would know the difference. And I was like, oh, no, everybody does. How many of your clients would know the difference between Bute and Bantamine?
What do you mean, know the difference as in what it looks like or its effect?
What is
its effect?
No, I don't think they would.
Oh,
I think some of them know that Bantamine helps with colics, but they don't know why. A lot of them think it's a tranquilizer. Because the horse gets sedate, because the horse feels better. All of a sudden they calm down. They stop rolling. They stop fighting at their sides. They stop looking frantic. So they think it's a tranquilizer, and it's not. It's an anti-inflammatory.
Okay. Glenn, Jen, you guys are right. I'll give you that one.
See?
I'll give you that one.
So she can't say.
I've got clients that have Bute, and they're out in the trail. And the horse maybe got a little dehydrated, maybe getting a little gas colic when they got back to the trailer. And all they got on you know, with them is Bute, because they were thinking they might get an injury on the trail. Bute will work in a mild gas colic. It just kind of takes the inflammation away, and they carry on just fine. But for the one that you're talking about that you had, Jamie, that Bantamine, that would be a better choice. I would certainly do that. And then a little bit of sedative, because hate to say it, but it sounded like he was a little bit of a hypochondriac there going on, going, oh, my God, I'm sick. Oh, my God, I'm sick. Oh, God, I'm sick. You know? So
oh, my God, exactly.
You give them a little bit of, you know, tranquilizer. You kind of take their mind off of it, make them feel really good, and then they don't realize how sick they are. And then we can let everything else get back to normal.
Okay,
yeah,
so we haven't heard, I was expecting of the four women on the call that one of you would have said typical male. They're sick. I'm shocked that I didn't hear that.
You know, it just really cracks me up that you dove in there with it first.
I've heard it a few times.
True. It is true, though. My God. He laid there like he was dying. And as soon as he got tubed and got a belly full, he's like, okay, hey, can I have that food now? Can I eat some more alfalfa, please? Seriously, typical male. They feel better.
Yeah.
They just want to eat again. Drama
queen. The other quick point, I know we're running out of time, I really want to make this point, is the referral decision. And I've really stressed this to my clients. I've learned over the years a better way of approaching it is to refer a horse. There's a lot of reasons to refer. But the main thing is they're not responsive to any analgesic, a painkiller, like your neighbor down the street had to give another Banamine and another Banamine. That's ridiculous. If you have to keep giving that much Banamine, it needs to go somewhere else where it has 24-hour monitoring and fluids, possible surgery. When you make a referral, I tell my clients, you don't have to do surgery, especially nowadays with the recession, the economy. A lot of people are scared to death to take that step and say, I'll go to a surgical referral place because they feel that they're going to be pushed into surgery. You don't have to be pushed into surgery if it does not fit your economics. Do not remortgage your house. Do not miss Christmas for your kids if that is more important priority in your life. But, and by the way, there's plenty of insurance out there that will help you with those surgical decisions when you have to get to that point to help you out with, you know, paying for surgery. But going to a referral hospital or a clinic doesn't necessarily mean you have to do surgery. It's just going to give that horse 24-hour care that you yourself are unable to give because of the lack of medical knowledge and the better medical knowledge and better access to drugs, IV fluids, things like that. So a referral decision is not necessarily going to have surgery. It means it's going for 24-hour care.
I think that's an excellent point. And you also brought in insurance, and that's a whole other show. But and a lot of these types of situations, these potentially catastrophic or at least very scary situations, you're going to do a lot better job at handling those situations if you've thought about them ahead of time. So, I mean, insurance may be part of that decision. It may not. It may just be thinking ahead of, gee, if something really, really bad happens to this horse, am I going to consider referral, or do I just already know ahead of time that I can't afford it and that it's just not an option? But you can make those decisions a lot more calmly and with a lot clearer head if you think about them when you're not in the middle of those situations.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've run into a few people lately who lapsed their insurance because they didn't need it. They owned the horse for 7 years, never had a problem, and boom, they've got a big problem right now, and they don't have insurance anymore. You know what? You drive your car for 7 years. You don't have an accident. You don't have any issues. And then you drop your car insurance, and you have an accident. You know, most of the places, most of the states require you to have car insurance. So that's why most of us have it, is because you're required to have it. But if you think about it, it gives you that relief that you can go get another car. You can get that car fixed. You can, you know, get a rental car because you have that kind of coverage. It makes those decisions easier rather than heartbreaking economically. So you think about the insurance for the horses because it will make it a lot easier to make the decision to go to a referral hospital and run some fluids and possibly do surgery.
Absolutely. And think about, too, you know, you will, if you're thinking about ahead of time, you will also think of, okay, if it's over this amount, maybe I would act this way, and if it's over that amount. And it's not all that uncommon, Aaron. I'm sure you have some stories for, you know, somebody ended up in a situation where a horse needs some fairly expensive care if it's going to survive and do well, and people just say, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, he's my baby. Go ahead and do it. And then later on, they're having to you know, foreclose their house because they put so much into that horse they didn't think about at the time what the ramifications might be, and nobody wants to be in that situation either.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I don't have a view in anybody's pocketbook. If I did, I'd be a miracle worker. But, you know, I always offer every single option, and it's their decision how they want to adjust their economics to pay for it. Some have the insurance to do it. Some have a credit card solely just for their horse. Care credit, farm, what is it, the Farm Bureau, I think there's a credit card with them that's 0% interest. And those are nice to have. You can take a $5,000 to $7,000 colic surgery and spread it out over a year's time and make payments and have no interest added to it. I mean, that kind of stuff is utilized widespread in the horse community and the dog and cat community. to take care of your pets, your animals, your kids, however you want to look at them. So you don't have to make that horrible decision of, oh, I'm tapped out and I can't afford this.
Absolutely. It's not a good place to be. Well, thanks. I know we've been on the phone for about 30 minutes. We're about out of time, huh? This is a great topic. I love it.
Oh, it's a fantastic topic, and we could go on and on. I'd love to do one just on talking about insurance and you know, being prepared for that, because, you know, the other issues we have here in Florida that are very expensive issues are eye injuries, and they tend to be very taxing on the clients in giving medications, because it's hourly, every 2 hours, every 4 hours, and that's through the night, and you're trying to work at the same time. There's a lot of layup places that will, you know, accept your credit card, take care of your horse, and you can still go to work, make the money to pay for that bill, and you got delayed billing on some of those credit cards, or you have insurance that gets reimbursed for this layup barn that's taking care of your horse's eye injury. So there's a lot of reasons to have it besides orthopedics and colics.
We'll do that next week, because you're right. I think absolutely it is a good thing to do, and I know I need to go ahead and get some for Jet now. And again, you know, you buy a horse for $400, and the insurance for the year is like more than that. But you're right, it's worth it, because I spent more than his purchase price on Sunday. You know, I mean, he was adopted for $400, and his colic bill was $500. So,
and that's just a typical colic bill. It's a typical comment, and I hate to say it, Jamie, I get that comment a lot when I do colics. But nowadays, even a vaccine bill will be more than what you paid for the horse, because there's a lot of free horses out there. So if you think about that, there's a lot of free ones. You can still get insurance on the free ones, too.
Well, and that's what my coach says. She goes, you don't ride him like a $400 horse, so you don't treat him like one.
Right? I love that.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming to being on the show. We will talk to you all again next week. Of course, it's Christy from thehorse.com and Dr. Jones from floridaequine.com.
Well, this Friday, of course, is Really Bad Ads time. Jennifer, what are the prizes for Really Bad Ads this week?
On the prize table this week, from left to right, from Horse Grooming Solutions, a grooming tote filled with products at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than Horse Grooming Solution brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silveretto Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. Each and every tote that they send out to our winners is a little bit unique. You don't, not every tote has exactly the same products, but the really, really cool part is it comes with full-size containers. You don't get those little itty-bitty sample things. You get the real deal. And on the other side of the table, from Epona Products, the perfectly primped package. Say that three times fast. This package features a trio of scrubby bath cloths, one each ultra mitt and all-purpose mitt, with Epona's perfectly primped
say that again.
Prize pack. Perfectly primped prize pack. You will have the ultimate tools for cleaning and massaging, scrubby bath cloths, Ultra Mitt and All-Purpose Mitt are all effective for removing sweat marks, scrubbing out dirt and grime, and during baths, and during bringing out the natural glow of your horse's coat with a gentle massage. You can find Epona grooming products at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you can go to EponaProducts.com. This is a nice one. If PT's favorite grooming mitt is his Epona Ultra Mitt.
Yeah, I use all their products on PT. He loves them. He loves them. He doesn't like the hard rubber curry combs, so these mitts are perfect for him.
He's
this is great great prizes for this week.
Yeah.
All about grooming. All about grooming this week here in the wintertime when the hair is long and your horses need a lot of grooming. So we want you to submit your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. It's very important that you put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and you also copy the entire Craigslist ad and paste it into the email. Do not just send us a link to the Craigslist ad, because 99% of the time we go and it's not there anymore. It's been taken down. So definitely copy the whole ad, pictures and all, and send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get your ads in. We need a few more good ones for this week, so we definitely want you to get them in today. or tomorrow. That you have today or tomorrow till tomorrow evening to get your ads in to win the great prizes. And to hear us making funny on Friday. Well, that's it for today. Get your app. A lot of people have been downloading the app the last couple of days. We had a lot of Australians downloading yesterday, I noticed. So hop on over to the iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network. We have all 11 of our shows on there. And I know that there was a new Chasing a Fox that just came out yesterday and also a new Blaze Kids Radio. And, you know, did you notice which questions today stumped the listeners, Jennifer?
More of our listeners need to listen to the Blaze radio show. Yeah.
You know, it's called Blaze Kids Radio, but it really has a lot of cool, interesting stuff on it, and I think you'll enjoy it. Just give it a try at blazekidsradio.com. That's it for today. We will be back here. We'll have a recorded show for you tomorrow, and then we'll be back here live on Friday. So we'll see everybody then. Be safe, everybody. Wear your helmets.
Go ride your horse.
Well, that's not possible in some parts of the country.
Go groom your horse.